Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for Freaky Rapid Fire.
Whose side are you taking? Whether it's sports or not, answer along in your car.
With Freaky's Rapid Fire on John and Hugh, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game on this Tuesday morning. Wish we were sitting here celebrating the Braves clinching the NL East, but that did not happen last night. The question is, will it happen today? The Mets were rained out. They'll have a doubleheader. By the time the Mets 4-10 start gets to the Braves' first pitch tonight, it'll be 2.5 hours and change into that first game against the Nationals. The Braves have a good idea, you know, whether or not the Mets are going to win here. And I think the Braves are going to go out and perform tonight, and hopefully tomorrow morning we are celebrating. So that's the first question here. Rapid Fire brought to you by Zero Res. Spell it backwards or forward. Zero Res is the right way to clean. Hugh Douglas, tomorrow morning at 5 a.m., are we going to crack the mics and say congrats to the Atlanta Braves as NL East champions, yes or no?
I'm going to say yes.
Abe, are we going to crack the mics tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. and say congrats to the Atlanta Braves?
I have to think so. I mean, you got three opportunities. The Braves can win, the Mets can lose one, or the Mets can lose two. You got three chances. It's got to be done today.
It's got to be done today. Next question in rapid fire. And, by the way, I agree. I think the Braves are going to win tonight. End of game. Who do you have the most confidence in that clutch end-of-game situation right now? Marcus Mariota or Kenley Jansen?
Kenley Jansen. Well, you know what? Kenley Jansen.
Marcus Mariota or Kenley Jansen, end-of-game clutch situation, who do you have the
Terrible
most confidence
question.
In?
Terrible question.
Why?
Because baseball's an individual sport masquerading as a team sport. And Kenley Jansen can do it all on his own if he wants. Marcus Mariota, he can't do it all on his own. He's relying on so many other players. It has to be Kenley Jansen. It has to be. It's based on the narrative of the question.
No, he's got eight guys behind him.
Well,
what are they doing if he strikes them out? Sitting there?
All right. Look, you want to do this?
I'm just saying.
I mean, do you want to do it?
I do it the whole rest of the rundown. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. Misspelled and everything else. Sure, okay.
That's your concern, a misspelling?
Yes.
Oh, if that's the worst I give you all day, I'm happy about it.
About time, it's not the worst, but okay. Real or fake? There are three and one NFL teams here, okay? There are seven of them left, okay? 7-3-1 teams left in the NFL, correct? Yes, 7-3-1 teams left in the NFL. I'm asking you if these 3-1 teams, Hugh, are real or fake. When I say real or fake, I'm talking about are they playoff teams or is this
contender
just
or pretender?
Yeah, right, exactly. Real or fake, same thing. 7-3-1 teams. The New York Football Giants, 3-1, real or fake?
Fake.
I can't buy it. I'm with you. Fake.
No, man, I ain't buying it. No, ain't fake.
The Green Bay Football Packers, 3-1, real or fake?
Real.
I think they can improve throughout the season and become a threat. So
what
I'll
did,
say
what
real.
Did Aaron Rodgers say? What the way they're playing though is not sustainable.
They're playing the same way as the Falcons are,
and it's not sustainable.
Right.
Minnesota Vikings, 3-1, real or fake?
Fake.
Oh, I'm gonna say real.
I'm not a fan. He's a Kirk Cousins fan. I'm not a Kirk Cousins fan. Not a fan of Kirk Cousins.
I'm a Jefferson, Thielen, Dalvin Cook fan.
Buffalo Bills, real or fake?
Next.
Yeah, I think Buffalo is real.
They're probably real.
Kansas City Chiefs, 3-1.
Probably real.
I'm just asking, okay? We're doing it, okay? Come on, man. Dallas Cowboys, 3-1.
Fake! Baby! They're a fake!
What was the question in terms of?
Playoffs.
Just playoffs? Yeah. Real.
No.
Real.
Ain't going to playoffs.
Just playoffs?
Hate, hate,
Okay. They're going to beat the Giants again. They're going to beat the Commanders again. I mean, they've already got three wins.
Are they going to win a playoff game? No.
All right. So the last two of these teams have second questions to them. The Dallas Cowboys, I believe, are fake.
No.
The other question is, Cooper Rush has set.
Don't do it.
Cooper Rush has set NFL records.
Don't do it, John.
I know somebody else who did that before.
Okay. Kevin Cobb, I know. Hugh. Who do you start?
Dak Prescott.
Who do you start? Cooper. Jerry Jones wanted a quarterback controversy. He's got a little one.
He doesn't. It's Dak.
It's Dak.
How much didn't Dak? What's Dak making?
A ton of bread.
Yeah, it's Dak.
Miami Dolphins, the final one of the seven teams here, real or fake?
They were real until their quarterback got hurt. They're in trouble.
Yeah, there's a little bit of TBD to this for sure. I think just because of the weapons they have, that even with Teddy Bridgewater, we're talking about just making the playoffs, as you said, John, right? Not Super Bowl or bust. Making the playoffs in that division, I think they can be real.
All right, we are going to talk more because we have sound from the head coach, Mike McDaniel, about Tua in our next segment here, a little bit of a tease ahead here. But do we see Tua any more this season?
Probably not.
Yes or no?
Probably not.
Yes, absolutely.
You think so?
Based on what they're saying, him already being back in the building and this and that.
Why do you think they're saying that, Abe?
To set up them starting him later in the year.
Cover.
He's not going to play.
Full cover.
They want you to know that he's okay.
Yep.
We don't know. Like, he's still in concussion protocol. Man, they want you to know. They screwed up royally. When they did that.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I also think you have 3 months left.
All right, but that'll be for the next
season?
Segment.
Yeah, you got 3 months still.
Okay. Well, how about this? Amend the question. He won't play this month.
No.
And this month
I don't think he
starts
until November at the earliest. Okay. I agree with you there, too.
All right, and more on that coming up in the next segment. Random NFL stats. We mentioned the Falcons being 15th in total yards and 8th in scoring in the NFL. Hugh, do you don't look now. Do you know who is number one in offense and total yards per game average right now in the NFL?
The offense and total yards per
total
game?
Total yards per game.
Total yards.
Total yards per game.
The Atlanta Falcons.
No, they're 15th.
Oh, did you just say that?
Yeah, I just said that. 15th in total yards, 8th in scoring. Who is the number one team in total yards per game in the NFL? I'm just curious if I'm not
the Detroit Lions.
That's correct.
That's exactly who I was going to say.
That is exactly correct.
That's what you call a bounce back. That's a serious bounce back.
You
game
said
right
the Falcons
there.
Right after he told you that.
Yeah, I did. I know because I was in my head in that moment.
You know what that was?
But that was a bounce back.
You know what that was?
Bounce back.
That was Mariota having a fumble and then making a play on third down.
Hey,
that's what
listen,
that was.
It works, but it's not sustainable.
May not be sustainable, but
it worked.
It
worked for me that time. It sustained it. So that was a bounce back. The football guys looked out for me on that one.
You know the highest scoring team in the NFL by points per game is?
Ooh, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Second.
I don't think it's the Chargers.
I almost said Kansas City, though.
How about Minnesota?
It is the Detroit Lions.
It is. I almost wanted to double down, but I couldn't do it.
Yeah, Detroit started. Like,
they put up like a 40 spot and a 30 spot.
35 a game. Do you know that also, and I'm not asking you this, just letting you know, the Lions have the worst scoring defense in the NFL. I mean, they're over every week.
Well,
oh, my God.
The offense keeps getting
By the way, the team that is dead last in scoring, the Falcons, the Lions are 35 a game. Falcons are eighth in the league in scoring per game. Team that's the lowest scoring team in the league.
The lowest scoring team?
Yep, 14.3 points per game.
Cincinnati Bengals.
No.
What?
It was a throw.
I think it's one of two teams. I'll start with Chicago Bears.
No.
Is it Houston then?
No.
Really?
Indianapolis Colts.
It is the Indianapolis Colts.
I feel like they're always up in 20s. I feel like they're always in the 20s. No. Every time I look, they're down four touchdowns, but they end up with 20-something points.
Among starting quarterbacks that have at least 100 passing attempts so far this year, at least 100 among starting quarterbacks. The quarterback with the best completion percentage at 77.3.
Gino. Because he won. You know
Come
why? Because he wanted to win. Because
right.
I got the. Yeah.
Exactly.
He wanted to win.
Exactly. He's been rolling up correct answer timing. Can't play second field. I buzzed in first.
He felt threatened.
You were going to say Geno, though, right, Hugh? Listen, yeah, now, totally. See, yeah. See, definitely look, were.
See how he does? Yeah. He felt threatened. Now he
I'm trying to give you an out.
All right, turn your own mic off here because this was.
I wasn't going to say Geno.
That's why I was saving you. Okay, everyone knows it's Geno.
So turn your mic. You cannot. Right. Don't you dare answer this next one, okay?
Oh, he's going to answer because he feels challenged right now. This is trivia night. This is trivia night for Abe. This is trivia night for Abe.
The quarterback with the best percentage of at least 100 attempts is Geno Smith at 77.3%. The quarterback Hugh with the worst completion percentage, 54.7%. Starting quarterback with at least 100 attempts, under 55%.
100 attempts, what, under 55?
Over 100 attempts, under 55%. Worst completion percentage of a quarterback is?
Aaron Rodgers.
No.
There's a couple it could be, boy.
Then we didn't ask you a couple, we asked for one.
Matt Ryan.
No.
Marcus Mariota.
No.
No, is he said Justin over 100 Fields? Attempts. So.
Marcus doesn't have over 100 attempts.
Matthew Stafford.
Oh, okay.
No.
Stafford had a bucket load of incomplete. He had like 40. He threw the ball this 48 times last night.
Ooh.
Okay, you ready for it?
Tom Brady.
No. Ready for it?
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you know what's funny about that, though, John? He was complaining about the fact that Cleveland ran the ball a lot. Remember at the beginning of the season, he was talking about how that's what they do. They run the ball a lot. So they let you throw it in Carolina.
I was going to say, I would have thought his numbers wouldn't have been that bad because they padded him with a bunch of receptions to McCaffrey.
Now we see why they didn't want you to throw it in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Five FBS coaches have been frosted, and it's not even halfway through the season. Frost, Collins, Herm, Carl Durrell, and Paul Christ. Whose neck gets next? Brian Harsin at Auburn, Eli Drinkwitz at Mizzou, Neil Brown at West Virginia, Kirk Ferentz at Iowa, and that's the buzz right now. I told people about buzzing about Paul Chris. They're buzzing about Kirk Ferentz at Iowa and Scott Satterfield in Louisville. So Brian Harsin at Auburn, Eli Drinkwitz, Mizzou, Neil Brown, West Virginia, Kirk Ferentz, Iowa, Scott Satterfield, Louisville.
I'm going to say Satterfield because I think I heard something about – I think I read something about
that. Yeah, I think Satterfield's incoming recruiting class is too good. I think he's kind of in that Sarkisian mode right now where I think that might – be keeping him safe.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what they do against Georgia this weekend, Harsin could be in trouble. Depending on what they do against Florida this weekend, Missouri could be in trouble.
I think they're kind of hamstrung when it comes to Harsin, though. They were looking to move him.
If Wisconsin's out here paying 11 mil, I think Auburn can scrounge around. I think you've got good potential coaches out there.
All right, I'm going to go with.
I think Auburn.
I'm going to answer the question. I'm going to say Neil Brown at West Virginia, but this Kirk Ferentz at Iowa, you people, they said, because I said Paul, look, and all I was repeating was I saw all of the, once they got run by Illinois, I started seeing all the things pop about, and then, fans are one thing.
Mm-hmm.
When the media starts popping it, I went, oh, the media in Wisconsin is saying he could be out. And Kirk Ferentz, the media in Iowa, there is now a race. There's a race out there that's going on because schools like Iowa, they see Wisconsin and Nebraska in their league, or they see Arizona State or Georgia Tech. We're not talking about you can say what you like about the state of the program. These are not small schools,
mm-hmm.
and that pool of potential coaches is not
dwindling.
As deep. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to get into that, if you believe that you have to make it, you may have to make a change now to try to get in front of somebody because you can't wait because by the end of the year, those people, your top three guys may be gone.
Yeah, it does feel like there's a little bit of a push and a run to try to get in position to get a coach as soon as you possibly can.
Right, especially with the new money coming into the Big Ten at $100 million a year. Come on. We got 3 days today. Pick one. It's National Cinnamon Roll Day.
Cinnamon.
Taco.
It's National Taco Day.
Yeah, baby.
It's also National Vodka Day.
I like tacos. I like tacos.
Which one are you going to celebrate the most? Cinnamon Roll Day, Taco Day, or Vodka Day?
I'll probably get a cinnamon.
Cinnamon vodka.
Okay, that's
delicious.
That's the thing, though, isn't it?
Oh, you bet it is. It is delicious.
Taco-flavored vodka?
Maybe not as much as cinnamon vodka, but I'd probably try it.
No. Not me. I pass.
More from Hugh on what is going on with this Tua situation and the NFL and these concussions, because this is turning into a, I'm glad you dropped that, for the NFL on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Look who it is. It's
John and Hugh.
Oh, they're freaking awesome.
On Sports Radio 92.9. The Game. Keeping you in the loop as John and Hugh cover every scoop.
It's time to take a look around the league. It's NFL Headlines with John and Hugh.
Let's do it.
Ready?
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
NFL Headlines this morning, sponsored by the MD Anderson Cancer Center. Last night, the San Francisco 49ers waylaid the LA Rams, beat them 24-9, sacked Matt Stafford 7 times. In the game here. Does that say more, that game last night, does this say more about San Francisco being under Jimmy G now a legitimate threat to make a deep run in the NFC playoffs, or does it say more about the fact that the LA Rams probably aren't going to be defending champions at all?
Good question, John. I think it's still fairly early, but I think it's safe to say that they're going to probably struggle a little bit, you know, because that is a factor for them. Quarterback protection is a factor, because if I'm not mistaken, he got sacked 7 times in the first game against Buffalo. So when you talk about making it to the playoffs and playing against teams, like, that's when you're going to see your elite defenses. It's a good chance they might see him again. Now, they might have some of that shored up. But you, out of those 2 games alone, that was like, what, 14 sacks in those 2 games alone? So you have some protection issues. So I think it's just that, you know, that's what it speaks to, is it speaks to the fact that they have some holes in that offensive line.
A couple of big injuries to report here. The Broncos have lost their star running back, Javonte Williams, for the year. He's got an ACL, big blow to Denver. And the Bills have lost a veteran wide receiver, their punt returner, Jamison Crowder, for the year with a broken ankle. So it's tough out there right now. You should know that let's talk a little bit about quarterbacks, too, in a moment. First, the kiss of death was given to Baker Mayfield. We mentioned him in rapid fire. Lowest percentage, completion percentage of any quarterback with 100 attempts, 54.7%. And yesterday during his news conference of the week, Matt Rhule, taking questions, said that Baker is going to remain the starter and that he has, quote, always been a winner, Hugh.
He's a winner.
Well, that's news to me. Was he a winner in Cleveland? Was he really? I mean, I mean,
one more than he lost.
Okay. Define winner. I think you got to be like a title guy, be a winner. He's a winner.
Certainly wasn't a big winner.
Everybody's not a title winner that could be considered a winner. Josh Allen isn't a title winner, but I'm pretty sure that some people would consider him so far a winner. It's semantics at this point. Baker was a decent quarterback in Cleveland. Baker benefited tremendously from that running game, in my opinion. Now we're starting to see Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, he put himself in a precarious situation when he made that comment about Cleveland running the ball all the time, and that's all they wanted to do. Like, he wanted to be in a wide open offense. Mm-hmm. Well, Baker,
yep.
You got it.
Yep.
You're throwing the ball all over the schoolyard, and it's not really working out for you.
Well, whatever. I'll raise my hand. Whatever. I'm not.
Oh, John. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I give you props on that. I also give you props on the fact that you said that that the Falcons would outrush the Cleveland Browns, and they did that as well.
But now this week, okay.
Still possibly on the table.
Yeah, I know. It's Tampa and San Francisco the next 2 weeks. So it's okay. You know what? You're going to be tested. Let's put it that way. You are going to be tested. All right, let's talk about Tua. Mike McDaniel, head coach of the Miami Dolphins, updating us on the status of Tua Tagovailoa.
It's too early to give a definite timeline. I can comfortably say that he'll be out for this game against the Jets. But anything beyond that, we're just focused on making sure he's at optimum health and then crossing that bridge. So it's a little early for definitive timelines beyond that.
He sounded like he smoked a couple doobies before he came to work. Just my, unprofessional opinion about that is just his voice, his way that he sounded. My thing is this. I feel like he is being set up to be the scapegoat in some way, shape, or form. And the reason why I say that is every time that you put him out there.
When you say he, you mean Tua or McDaniel?
McDaniel, I'm sorry. Every time you put him out there and he speaks, there's a level of skepticism that I automatically feel because I think back to that press conference when he said everything was fine and everything was okay and he didn't show any signs or any symptoms or anything like that. Listen, as a layman, as somebody that was sitting on my Barca lounger, the first time when he got wobbly Sunday. Even if you're not a doctor, John, he shouldn't have been out there. Just play it safe. Shouldn't have threw him back out there. I know the game was still undecided at that point and all this stuff. Shouldn't have been back out there.
All right, I don't want to oversell this, but I want to go back over just for the sake of this discussion here. The doctor that examined him after he got hit and came up wobbly in the Buffalo game has been fired. The NFL is going into serious discussions this week to change concussion protocol. The league is responding because this is such a bad look, and the endearing, or and that's the wrong word, the enduring, I think is what I should say, the enduring picture is last week, Tua laying on his back with his hand locked up in a claw, and everybody saying, oh my God, because that was such a bad look. You've talked about this. You've been part of this. You've gone through this with the veterans at CTE. You're part of the discussion in concussions in this league. This is a big, massive issue.
It is, and they're trying to downplay it as much as they possibly can. And you know, it's one of those things, John, where the fact that they fired the doctor was telling. Like, I didn't have to be a doctor to know that he wasn't right. I didn't have to be a doctor to know that. You come up wobbly at that point. Like I said, the game was not decided. Play it safe. Play it safe because that's not a good look. But this is the unfortunate thing about it. There's a lot in play here. The fact that Tua Tagovailoa probably said he was okay. Like, as a doctor, your job is to do the best of your ability, provide care for your patient. But if your patient is not being honest about the situation that he's in, that puts you in a little bit of a precarious situation because the team's looking at you like, hey.
They've put full trust in what your opinion is as
a
doctor.
But at the same time, Abe, we need this guy. Like, see, that's the delicate balance that's in the NFL. Like, nobody's going to tell you.
Especially in a game against Buffalo.
Listen, nobody's going to say to you, hey, dog, you probably need to sit this one out. Not in the heat of the moment. And if anybody says they're going to do that, they're lying. Eat your teammates.
By the way, nor is Tua going to say, I probably am not.
None of that.
Shouldn't go in right
none
now.
Of that. None of that. Because you're in the heat of the moment. There's pressure from your teammates. Not saying that somebody said, hey, man, we need you. But you don't want to let anybody down. I remember, John, when we played, we were getting ready to go to the NFC Championship game. And Troy tore his groin.
Troy Vincent.
Tore his groin. And we knew that our best chance to win was if Troy played. Because you're talking about who they have, the receivers that they had. Torry Holt and
Isaac Bruce.
Like, dog, we need Troy. Like, hell, Marshall, this is the NFC Championship sure game.
Yeah, right.
And so it's like, Troy, I remember going, man, listen. I remember going into the training room and making sure that Troy, hey, man, you need anything? You straight? And Troy sitting there getting his groin treatment. Like, he got aggressive treatment because it was so bad. Like, I'm in there getting the diagnosis from the doc. He's like, well, yeah, you know, at the end of the season, they're going to have to put a mesh down there to help heal it because it's torn. And Troy getting aggressive treatment. Like, I remember him being there all night that morning and everything. He played in the game. He played well in the first half. Second half, couldn't go. Couldn't go. He was too hurt. But that's the kind of pressure that you're under. Now, I didn't say nothing to him, but the sheer fact that I was there at his treatment, that's pressure. And you feel that. You feel that as a player. And then think about this. Tua Tagovailoa has been under siege like all offseason. People questioning whether or not he should be in the league, talking about Tom Brady and him being there and all that other stuff. He felt that pressure. When he was out there wobbly and it was like, hey, man, can you go? He's like, oh, heck, with games on the line, I need to go. I'm fine. And when he played Thursday, when he went down, probably was telling him he was fine then. Like, it's tough, man. It's tough.
And
but
go back to college where he got replaced by Jalen Hurts, so he knows what it feels
like.
Yeah, we know.
It's tough, man. It's tough. But as a doctor, especially during these times of concussion protocol and just scratching the surface of knowing about concussions, you probably should have let him sit out.
Do you
there.
Think the doctor was scapegoated or the doctor botched
it? Oh, he's the sacrificial lamb. Yeah.
Or both.
There are so many different factors in here. I would not be surprised if this doc in a couple years writes a tell-all book about how the NFL threw him under the bus. Would not be surprised. Would not be surprised.
I'd probably violate HIPAA, though.
Probably. But at that point, he'll probably – like, do you know how many people are going to be looking at him sideways after that diagnosis that he gave him? He's probably done. Remember those doctors that did the concussion movie? Dr. Pellman and all those guys up in New York?
Right.
What are they doing right now? I don't even think Dr. Pellman is named, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
the doctors from New York.
Sure. The Reception Perception podcast, insights on who to start and who to bench in your fantasy league. Matt Hartman and James Coe have the answers. The Reception Perception podcast is available for fantasy owners free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up, Roddy Jones, Georgia Tech analyst. What led to the win by the Jackets, and what do you make of it? Live next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to more John and Hugh.
Yeah, I love it.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. First thing that, I don't know the exact first thing, but among the first things that Georgia Tech's interim coach Brent Key did was get rid of the Jeff Collins above the line, which is, he didn't have a depth chart. He just said these guys are above the line. They're available to play. As it turns out, Brent Key is above the line. He's 1-0 as a head coach. Nobody had Georgia Tech going to Pittsburgh and winning the game. I mean, nobody. Nobody, Hugh. Right? Exactly.
Nobody, baby.
Bring in Roddy Jones, former Georgia Tech star, of course, ACC and ESPN national college football analyst. and a proud Yellow Jacket after that win at Pittsburgh this week. Hey, Roddy, what up?
Roddy!
Morning, guys. How are you guys?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, Roddy, let me take you through my train of thought. Great job doing the broadcast, by the way. But
appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I'm watching the game, right, and I'm like, these the same cats that I saw like a week ago. Like, the defense is always like, I've always said Georgia Tech can play some good defense. They just didn't get the offensive help they wanted. What did Coach do different? What did Coach Key do different that had the team play the way that they did?
To be honest, Hugh, I think you did a great job of just having them focus on the little things. And I think it was evident in special teams the most, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the defense certainly played hard. The offense still has issues, but Pitt's also a good defense, and they did enough at the end. But I think it was all about the little things. Like, hey, on punt, we're not going to send motions. We're not going to have multiple formations. We're going to get – and not a tight NFL punt formation, but basically the college equivalent of it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to one-step every punt, and we're going to make sure that the punt gets off. From a field goal kicking standpoint, we're going to switch the kicker to a guy that we think can make them. And he made four of them, Gavin Stewart did. So I thought it was most evident in those things. And then the thing that Pitt did, Georgia Tech made enough mistakes early to cost them the game, to be honest with you. There should have been three interceptions, all that stuff. But the thing Pitt did is let Georgia Tech hang around and start to believe that all the stuff that Brent Key was preaching was possible. And to Brent Key's credit, the stuff that he was preaching was indeed possible, and those guys just needed a reason to believe. And the longer the game went and it was close, I think you could tell those guys started to believe. The third down play where I can't remember who the running back was. I think it was Hassan Hall. It stopped short, and the entire offensive line pushes him 8 yards past the first down. I'm not saying that that's something that Brent Key coached and Jeff Collins didn't. But it's something we definitely didn't see under Jeff Collins that we did see under Brent Key that just shows the effort. So I think those guys are just bought in, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fundamentals of how Brent Key started his tenure on Monday by saying, hey, look, guys, there is discipline for these things. There are expectations for these things. Let's go out and play hard and simplify stuff, and they did that.
You know, Roddy, I got to ask you, I know it's a small sampling size, but you talk about the magnitude of that win. I think that was the first time that they beat a ranked opponent in a long time. And
2016.
Yeah. And for them to come out and play the way that they did in a hostile environment. Small sample size, I know. But as an alumni, do you have to consider Coach Key possibly being the head coach for Georgia Tech?
I think you always have to consider the interim for a few reasons. The primary one being he already knows the plays. So that's one less thing that you have to learn. And if Brent Key continues to win games, I'm not saying he has to make a bowl game, but if he continues to win games, he will have to be strongly considered because of how the team responded to him. And honestly, he's got the bona fides. Like, this is a guy that his coaching career was molded under George O'Leary and Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a substance and an organization and a discipline to anybody who comes from that tree. In the way they run the program. So, yeah, I think you have to consider him. A lot of it's going to depend on, hey, what's your vision for the program? How do you intend on building this thing? All of that stuff. But, yeah, if he continues to win, I think you always have to consider the interim because the most successful interim to head coach move of all time is right up the road at Clemson. So yeah, I think it has to be considered.
Talking with Roddy Jones, ACC analyst, former Tech running back, called the Tech Pick game with Wes over the weekend. All right, before anybody spits their coffee, all right, Roddy, I just want to look at this. Georgia Tech is hosting Duke this week. If they beat the Blue Devils, look at the Coastal. North Carolina, flaws. Virginia Tech, flaws. Miami, flaws. You just beat Pittsburgh. Virginia's got flaws. You beat Duke, Georgia Tech's in the running. Roddy, they're in the running.
Yeah, you're completely right, John. Now, Duke, it's easy to look at Duke and for Tech fans to say, hey, we just beat Pitt, we should beat Duke. Duke is playing a much more fun style of football than Pittsburgh is, and that offense is really good. Two of those teams that you just mentioned, Duke and North Carolina, are among the top 10 teams in the country in offensive efficiency against Power 5 or against FBS opponents. So it's going to be tough. Like, you're going to have to score against those two squads. Duke has a lot of skill on the perimeter, as North Carolina does, and a quarterback that's athletic and is playing really well. But you mentioned Carolina's flaws. Their flaws are on defense. Their offense is fantastic. That one's going to be a tough one. But, like, Virginia and Virginia Tech can't score, and neither can Virginia, because their offensive line is tough and they're having struggles at the quarterback position. Miami, you mentioned, just lost to Middle Tennessee State. Now, Miami's a talented team, and if they put it together, it's going to be a tough game. But again, it's a team that lost the Middle. The thing for Georgia Tech, as always, is you got Clemson from the other side early on. It's the wrong year to have Florida State coming to you because they're good this year. I think Georgia Tech should look up at its schedule. Well, maybe not the team, but the fans could look up at the schedule and say, hey, look, there are other wins on this schedule, and multiple, not just one, because of the place that especially Virginia and Virginia Tech are. And then if you can get one of the ones that you're going to be a larger underdog, then sure, you can dare to dream that at the end of November you're playing meaningful football.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I'm just saying you're in the map. Not making any predictions. I'm just saying.
You are exactly right. Like, Duke's at the top of the Coastal right now,
right?
And they look good.
By the way, you could be tied for first. You could be a loaded first place. Who knows? I mean,
very well could.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. It's gonna be interesting. Suddenly it got interesting. Let's put it that way here. All right, let's take a kind of larger look at the land here. You mentioned Florida State's having a better year. Are we to buy in Syracuse as a 5-0 team?
I buy Syracuse as a good team. I do not buy Syracuse as a top 25 team. I think this is a Syracuse team that did what they needed to do at the time they needed to do it. They've got a really tough schedule. They played Purdue earlier in the year. They get Notre Dame later on. But Syracuse is off this week. Their last seven games are ranked NC State, at Clemson, Notre Dame, at Pittsburgh, ranked Florida State, now not, at Wake Forest, at Boston College. That six-game stretch, NC State through Wake Forest, is about as tough as anybody has in the league this year. Say what you want about the way Notre Dame started their rounding into form. Say what you want about what you saw from Pittsburgh. That defense is still really good. So it's a tough stretch. So I think Syracuse ends up as like a 6 or 7 win team, despite being 5-0 right now. But they're still a pretty good team. They've got some offensive issues that have peaked their head up at times. They haven't been able to get Sean Tucker going until the Wagner game, where he had 230 on 23 carries. But they're a good defensive team that has some tools on offense. So in terms of top 25 team, they won't last long there. They'll be in for one more week, and then they'll probably get beat next week against NC State.
You know, I got a question for you, because we were talking about this morning, Louisville and Scott Satterfield. Do you look at him as a coach that is potentially on the hot seat?
Yeah, I think you have to. The flirtation with South Carolina a few years ago did not buy him good favor with the fans. They've got a new athletic director up there. They are not playing well offensively, it seems like, and Malik Cunningham doesn't put them on his back. They're not going to move the football. That offensive line came back and was supposed to be one of the best in the league this year, and they have not been. They haven't run the ball consistently with a good running back in Tyon Evans, Tennessee transfer. And then the receivers, like, outside of Tutu Atwell and Des Fitzpatrick, Scott Satterfield hasn't developed his own receivers. Those two guys he inherited. So, I think you have to look at just the brand of football that Louisville's played the last few years and think, yeah, I don't know how tenable it is up there, especially if they continue to lose games like they did the other day, where, I mean, that's a Boston College team that really struggled on offense. They moved the ball against Louisville, and then silly mistakes cost Louisville at the end. So I think he's probably the next one in the ACC that you'd have to have your eyes on to see if they're going to make a move.
Final question for me for Roddy Jones. Jeff Collins fired during the season. He got frosted. Five coaches now, right? Scott Frost, Jeff Collins, Herm Edwards, and Carl Durrell, and then there was Paul Christ. Paul Christ at Wisconsin, 67-26, 6-1 in bowl games. Now there's chatter about from the media in Des Moines about Kirk Ferentz at Iowa. I get it, you know, and notwithstanding some of the other coaches that are on the hot seat, Drinkwitz at Missouri, Harsin at Auburn, Satterfield at Louisville. I get a sense, Roddy, that there is a mad scramble with the in this new world with the new television contracts coming under for whatever coaching talent might be out there, and schools are willing to sacrifice long time solid coaches because they think that they need to take the next step now, and we may get a host of more firings because they're afraid that the best talent long term is going to be gone.
I think in Wisconsin's case, that is absolutely the case. It felt very much like the move that Georgia made to fire Mark Richt and go get Kirby Smart. Like, you had an alum that you knew was going to get a big-time job at some point, and you wanted it to be at your place. And you had a guy who had tremendous success over time, but ultimately you had to let him go to get sort of the chosen son of your school. Which I think is what's going on at Wisconsin. Paul Chryst has Jim Leonard on staff. Jim Leonard turned down the defensive coordinator job for the Green Bay Packers either last offseason or the offseason before. Jim Leonard was going to get a Power 5 head coaching job, probably at a really good school at some point. And you had an opportunity to get rid of Paul Chryst. And I hate to say it like that, but he'd lost all three games against Power 5 opponents. They lost to Brett Bielema, who previously took them to Rose Bowls, which was embarrassing, at home in a way that Wisconsin feels like it should play. And you've got Jim Leonard sitting right there. So I think that was a case of opportunity striking. Hey, look, we've got a run here of not great football. The run coming up is very winnable because the Big Ten West doesn't have any world beaters. Let's go ahead and make the move now so that we can get Jim Leonard as interim and then ultimately end up with him as our head coach. That's what it strikes to me. The other ones have like real long-term
right.
issues over time.
Mm-hmm.
So Wisconsin was a little different than me just because I think the opportunity was there to get rid of Paul Chryst.
Roddy, as always, we do appreciate that. We look forward to Tech and Duke this week. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, of course, guys. Appreciate it. Talk next week.
Have a good one.
Roddy Jones, ACC network analyst, college football analyst for ESPN, and, of course, Jack is starting on Georgia Tech Duke this week down on the flats. It'll be interesting to see. Georgia Tech wins that game. We're going to have an interesting conversation about
Indeed,
Georgia Tech and the Coastal.
Are.
Headlines coming up. Will the Braves seal the deal tonight? They got three shots at us saying tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. the Atlanta Braves are NL East champions. Will they get it done? Next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.